Well, one of the things that I've learned doing this of code, and I think that a lot of us have, and maybe we didn't realize it yet, or maybe you did, but the thing that we can't do is we can't abandon our testimony. We can't, because it's powerful. And I'm not just talking about the testimony of us coming to Christ. Our testimony, things that happen every day, that was Isaac's testimony. And your dad's right. You keep your head in that pillow. Pray, because it's gonna help you. It's going to sustain you through these years, because the years that you're living is your most influential years right now. And the decisions that you make now is going to affect the rest of your life. So you keep your head in that pillow, and you're going to see the results. I promise. Well, I'm going to just do a quick review. I got 2 minutes of the fall feast days that we're in that we just celebrated. The first one was Yom Teruah. And that one represents whenever Christ returns. It's the Day of Trumpets, a call for repentance by blowing of the trumpets when Yeshua returns. The next one is the Day of Atonement, which is what we call Yom Kippur. It's a picture of the judgment day when Messiah will judge the world, a day for humbling before the Father. So it's a day that we humble ourselves, and then we have the days that we just went in. The Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, the time of ingathering, and I mean, this Sukkot was incredible. You know, we've been having it, I think it's 3 years, but anyway, what we feel now, even today, whenever I walked in, you can just sense that, you know something, we're getting this thing right. We're getting closer and closer to the Father, because we are lining up with His Word and what He expects of us and His people. And because we're doing it, we're starting to see the results. And the results, one of the results is unity between the believers. Between the believers, unity. And the Feast of Tabernacles. And then right now we're in the great, today's the great day. All right, so... So for Yom Teruah, Yeshua is going to show up. He's going to come on a scene, and that's going to be an incredible day. But the great day is whenever the Father comes. It's going to bring incredible up to a new level whenever the Father comes and dwells with His people. And it says in Revelation, I have one scripture. In Revelation 21:22. I saw no temple in it. There'll be no need for a temple. This time around, there'll be no need for the temple. For the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. Incredible. Incredible. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring glory into it. So that's going to be an incredible day. And here we are today celebrating that, and I'm thankful that He's given us the opportunity, and He's bringing us in the direction that we're going. All right, we'll pray over the food.
Just fellowship with one another, and then we'll come back and sing a couple songs. We're just going to rejoice, have a wonderful time. Then we'll probably snack some more, and then Brother Chad will bring the word this evening to us. So, but just hang around all day. Don't go home. Let's just stay here and enjoy each other's company, because that's what Sukkot is.
I always burn the midnight oil and pass that. I don't think we're burning the midnight oil tonight, but hey. Who knows? All right. We're going to look at unity and the shield of faith and how they go together. And whenever you put them together, it creates a powerful force. And that's one of the things I noticed for Sukkot is the unity factor. You know how we all came together. And this is what this feast day is designed to do, to bring us all together, you know, under one roof and in fellowship. And not just fellowship, but share testimony like we did. It was incredible, the testimonies. And what it does is it strengthens us like never before. I mean, think about it. When's the last time you told somebody a testimony? For some of us, it's been a while. If we want to be real with ourselves, it's been a while. But that's something that we can't do. We can't forget about our testimony, because what are we overcomers by? That's right. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Without it, we're in trouble. Because God, this is what happens. God creates opportunity for us to share it. That's what he does, to speak in other people's lives. You know, my line of work, I get a lot of opportunities to share my testimony. And every time I do, I make sure and do it, because you never know who it's going to affect and how it's going to affect them. You know, somebody could have sowed a seed there and a father brought you along just to water it. And that's just as important as sowing a seed, because who gives the increase? God gives the increase. Doesn't matter who sows the seed or water it, but it's him who gives the increase. So we want to make sure that we don't forget about our testimony. So it brought us back into unity, and it brought us back to koinonia. It brought us back to koinonia. You know, I question the reason why we're doing it at this time, because it gets busy. It's crazy right now. You know, I ain't even listened to the song because that we did, because, you know, I was busy with Sukkot and studying up to this point. But there's a reason why the Father did it, because this is going to be the best koinonia that we've ever hosted by far. It's going to be that, because he brought us back into fellowship. He brought us back into koinonia with each other. So now we can koinonia other people. Pastors, people who need it. They need it. They're human just like us. But they need the encouragement. They need the break from the ministry. And God placed us here to encourage them and put seed in their life. Thank y'all for being with me here. You know, I knew this was important, what I'm about to share. And look, he could have used anybody. I'm nobody. He could have used anybody. Anybody who makes themselves available. And that's all I did. I made myself available to the Father. That's all I did. But I'm really understanding the magnitude of this now, right now. Let's go to 1 Peter 5:8. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. whom resists, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that they are in this world. Hasatan, he says that he's like a roaring lion. Think about it. What does a lion do? Devour. He came to kill. So we have to be careful. Because he came to kill, he came to hunt us. That's what he's doing. Every moment, Hasatan is hunting us to devour us. Every moment. He doesn't let up. But listen what he says. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Resist him in the faith. So what is he looking to hunt? What is he looking to kill? Our faith. That's what he's after. He wants our faith because our faith is what pushes us through. It's our faith. And I'm trying my hardest not to get ahead of myself here. We are in a spiritual warfare. We don't have a choice. This is what it is. It's a warfare. We're at war here. There's no other way to look at it. And if you look in the scriptures, there are so many examples of this, and we're going to look at a couple today. But there's something that we can do to win the war. We don't lose. If we do this, we don't lose. And he shows us in the scripture. There's no way we lose. It's not a maybe. You might make it. We win. End of discussion. We win. But here's the thing we have to remember. Just because we're in a war doesn't mean we don't have to fight. You know, we look at it from the scripture, and it says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? But that doesn't mean it's still not a battle we have to win. There's still a battle. We may not be fighting with our hands, but we're fighting here. He wants control of us. Hasatan wants control of us. That way we can do the deeds of the flesh. That's what he wants. And when we do that, we succumb to him. And we tell the Father, I don't need you. You know, we don't like admitting that. We don't like to look at it, but that's exactly what it is. Whenever we fall prey to his traps and succumb to him, we're telling the Father we don't need him. And we do. Every one of us in here knows that we do. And here's another thing we have to remember. Make sure I ain't getting ahead of myself. You know, we're going to talk about a piece of the armor. But one of the things we can't forget is that it's not optional. Whenever it comes to the armor of God, it's not optional. We can't say, well, today I'm not going to do it. We have to pick it up every day. And look, here's the thing. Every day we wake up, it's right here inside of us. It's right here. Pick it up. That's all we have to do is pick it up. But how many times we walk out that door and we completely forget about it because of all the stuff going on? Well, you know something? Maybe some of that stuff needs to go. And that's what I've been praying. Father, if there's anything in me that needs to go, then I want it out. I don't want nothing separating me from you. Nothing. And you know something? Some of the stuff he told me to let go of, I didn't like it. But you know something? I'd rather him more than that stuff. I want to spend eternity with him and not that stuff. First John 5, 1 through 4. Whosoever believeth that Yeshua is the Messiah is born of Elohim, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim when we love Elohim and keep his commandments. See, whenever it comes to unity in a body, it's not that we can't have koinonia with each other first. The way we get that koinonia with each other is it goes through Yeshua. We have to have koinonia with Yeshua first, and then it spreads out. But if you try to do it, it doesn't work, because we'll have fellowship for a little while, but it's gone. Soon as we walk away, it's gone. That fellowship's gone. But if we go through Yeshua, the Messiah, it's going to last. It's going to last. All right, let's finish. For this is the love of Elohim, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of Elohim overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's the faith. The faith is going to help us overcome the world. Look, whenever it comes to the armor, it's incredible. It is. If you look at it, the way everything's placed, it's incredible. And I look at the word, the sword, which represents the word. You know, you can know the word, but the word won't pull you through. What pulls you through is the faith in the word. You have to, that's why he says you have to work the word. Well, how work your faith? How do you work the faith? Through the word. It's the faith that's going to bring us through. Having faith in his way of doing things. So that's what we have to have. We have to have faith in his way of doing things, and that's what we're doing now. This is the Moedims. This is the appointed times. We're having faith in them. Before we didn't. We had faith in man's traditions, all the stuff they came up with, but now we're having faith in the Moedims, the Father's appointed times. It's incredible. All right, here we go. This is where it starts, right here. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Master and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of Elohim, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of Elohim, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on a breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of good news of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith. Let me finish reading. Wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Elohim, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the good news, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, there that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. If you notice something, the shield of faith is right in the center. There's seven. I know a lot of times we don't look at as prayer as one, but it's one, and we need it big time. But he centers it right. The shield of faith is centered right in the middle. And one of the reasons why, I'm sure the order that it's in, that you could find a lot of stuff in there, but this one here is centered in the middle because it's our, the shield is our armor for our armor. You see, we have armor, our body armor, the helmet of salvation. We have our loins girded about with the truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But you know something? Even that needs armor. Even that needs armor. And this is how much the Father loved us. Okay? You ever pick something up for somebody? I mean, somebody close to you, somebody special. They say, look, I need this. And you go out of your way to get it. And it's they so special to you, and you care for them so much that you get extra. You say, look, I know you just needed this, but I'm going to give you extra just in case. Well, I'm telling you, that's what the Father did for us, because he wants to make sure that we win this war. He give us extra. He says, look, I'm giving you the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, all of these things, and they're going to protect you, but I'm giving you something extra just in case. Just in case. So here's the thing. We have been set up. The Father has set us up. You know what he set us up for? To win the war. He set us up. We couldn't be set up more than we are now as believers. There's nothing more the Father could have did for us. You know why? Because he would have. He would have did it. Hands down, he would have did it because he loves us that much. He loves us that much. He give us armor. And he give us a shield. Because he says, I want you to win.
Hallelujah.
So if you look at this shield of faith, back in the biblical days with the Roman soldiers, it was big. It was a big shield. The shield was so big, you was able to tuck yourself behind it and nothing would harm you. So it was a big shield. So the shield of faith is huge. It's huge for us as believers. It's huge. You might say, why? Why is the shield of faith huge for us? Because it's impossible to please the Father without it. We're not going to do it. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please me. We need the shield of faith. And we need to bear it every day. Psalms 5:11. So if you look at the armor's incredible. It's incredible. But without the shield of faith, we're done. Game over. We're done. We might as well throw our hands up and go home if we're not going to bear the shield of faith, because we're done. There's no way we're going to win without it. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name Be joyful in thee, for thou, Yahweh, will bless the righteous. With favor will thou compass or surround him as a shield. You see, it's a big shield. The Father's big. He's going to give us something that works. And he's not going to give us something that's half broken. He's going to give us the right stuff to get through this battle that we're in. Because that's exactly what it is. It's a battle. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith. The unity of faith. That's what we're experiencing here. The unity of faith. And it is powerful. Unbelievable. And we're gonna see it when we're going to keep going down. Keep looking at this and we'll see just how powerful it is. And of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So these soldiers, they used to get in this formation called the tortoise. Or the thing is Tesoto or something like that. But anyway, it's in our terms, it would be called the tortoise. And the Roman soldiers were called legionaries. When these soldiers are approaching you, the shield would be the most noticeable thing you would see. So whenever they're approaching you, that's the first thing you would see is the shield. Because it's huge. It's like a door. It's huge. You know, whenever men would die in a battlefield, they'd actually put them on a shield and carry them out of there. So let me ask you a question. When people see you, do they notice that you have faith? Is that the most noticeable thing about you? They look at them and say, Brother Josh, he has faith. Because that's what's going to carry us through. It's our faith. That's what's going to help us win the war. It's our faith. And people should see it in us. It's our faith that separates us apart from the world. It's our faith. You know, there's two different kinds of faith. There's parallel faith, which is faith in man. Or you can have vertical faith. And I can tell you, parallel faith ain't getting you nowhere. It may seem like it. I done been there, and I done that. It seems like you're going a long ways. But the problem is that, you know, God says, if you delight yourself in me, I'll give you the desires of my heart. Well, you know something? Satan flip-flops that. He likes to duplicate the Father. You know, if we delight ourselves in Hasatan, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Don't think he won't, because he will. He give them to me. I wanted drugs every day. No money. I got it every day. So don't tell me he won't give you the desires of your heart, because he will. Look at them movie stars with all this money. You don't think that's what their desire was? Absolutely it was, and they got it. But they're going nowhere. You hear me? Whenever he returns, they're going to tremble in fear, and we're going to be rejoicing. Yeah. So this tortoise formation, it would be 27 soldiers would combine together, six in front and seven in each of three rows. So it would be 27. The ones on the outside edge would interlock their shields vertically. The insiders would form a roof with theirs. The unit was virtually impenetrable as a sort of a walking tank. And I thought about Sister Jen whenever whenever I thought about that, because the way they tested these turtle formations, they would drive chariots over them. You ever felt like you've been drove over by a chariot? I thought about you, Sister Jen. Said she had a rough week, but you know something? She's here. Yes. And it didn't last long because she said by the end of the day, or whatever it was, she changed her mind about some things. She give God the praise and the honor. That's what counts. And here's an important aspect of the shield of faith. Very, very important, because it's what unifies us. The shield of faith is not just for our protection, but it's for your neighbor's protection. The body of Christ. It's for their protection. That person on side of you that you're in battle with. And let me tell you, we owe it to our brothers and sisters to not disarm ourselves and put our shield down. We owe it to each other. We should never disarm ourselves. And if we keep other people in mind, it'll discourage us from doing it. These soldiers were dedicated to their kingdom. They were dedicated to each other. This is what these soldiers lived and breathed. This was all they did. They were soldiers. That's it. They were soldiers. They dedicated their life to the kingdom and to their brothers and sisters. Don't that sound familiar? Don't that sound like something that we should do? We should be dedicated. He said, seek ye first his kingdom. We should be dedicated to the kingdom and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Every day. Every day. First Peter 2:21. For even here unto were ye called, because Messiah always also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He committed his life to the Father. To the Father. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. Yeshua paid for this. Yeshua paid for the armor. It just said right here. He paid for the armor so we can win this war. You know, whenever you look at the price that he paid, you know, we just think about, you know, being healed or being born again. But there's other things he did, and this was one of them. This is one we got to get, because he paid the price for this, and if we don't pick it up, we're in trouble. And why wouldn't he pick it up if the price has been paid? We would be crazy not to. You know how many times I was crazy? I don't even know. That's how many times it was. But look, we would be crazy. It's sitting right here on side of us every morning. And the price has been paid by Yeshua. The only thing it cost us is time to pick it up in prayer. That's how we pick it. We pick it up in prayer. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You see why it's important to keep the faith? Because he says, if you don't, I have no pleasure in you. We have to keep the faith. We have to bear the shield of faith. Because without it, we're done. We lost. There's a story in the Tanakh that the Father brought me to, an incredible story. And I think this is one of the stories that we share at this time. The story of Esther. Where's my wife at? She's gone. Oh, that's Purim. I'm sorry. I'm still working on these feast days, man. But nonetheless, this is an incredible story. And hopefully, once we go over this, it'll be more incredible to you than it was before, and it'll mean a lot much more to you, especially where we're at now as a body. All right, so I think everybody knows the story of Esther. So you have Esther and Mordecai and Haman didn't get along. I mean, Haman didn't like Mordecai because Mordecai wouldn't bow to him. So anyway, Haman gets mad and he passes this decree to kill all the Jews. Well, it just so happened that Mordecai's niece is the queen. So Mordecai sends this letter. Once he finds out about Haman's plot, he sends a letter to the queen. And we're going to read it in 4:10. Well, actually, we're going to be down a little further than... No, we're good right there. And again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. And the king's servant and the people of the king's province do know that whosoever... So Mordecai already sent the letter. All right? Now Queen Esther is replying to Mordecai's letter, her uncle. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whatsoever... whether man or woman shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called. So if you go before the king and you're not called, it doesn't matter who you are. The queen, it don't matter. This fellow was tough on the wife. If you wasn't summoned, you didn't get to see the husband. But anyway. So. So for 30 days, the queen was not allowed to go in front of the king. If she did, she would die. Unless the king puts out his scepter for her to grab. Or anybody in this matter, anybody. So let's continue reading. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, Mordecai is not talked about much, but Mordecai had some serious faith. You hear me? Because he told her, if you don't do it, my God's going to send deliverance from somebody else. From somebody else. So Mordecai had faith that the Father would save him regardless. But he says, look, how do you know you're not put in that place for such a time as this? See, whenever God puts us in places like that, we have to be mindful of this, because it just might be that God puts you in a place for such a time as this. So we have to be mindful of that. Let's continue reading. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go. Listen what Esther does. This is incredible. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. And I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Now I want you to notice something here, what they're doing. You know that them soldiers, they had the shields, but they had to lock them together. And that's exactly what they're doing here. They're locking their shield of faith together and going up in battle in unity. In unity they're doing this. And we know the result, but let's read it anyway. We know it. Now it had come to pass. Man, I'm about to choke right here. I need some water. Now I don't know why that happens, but you just got to deal with it, you know. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood up in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. You see how powerful prayer is? Do you see it? When we all come together in faith and we get on our face and pray, we become an unstoppable force. It can't be stopped. I don't care how many's out there against you. It can't be stopped, because we come together and we locked our shields together in faith and we go to battle. It can't be stopped. Then said the king unto her, what will thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? So what is your request? It shall be given thee to half the kingdom. You know, she was just going, this is how incredible God, she's just going to help her people, to deliver her people. But he says, look, I'll give you up to half the kingdom. So think about it. That's what the Father does. He loves us so much. Yes. If we just trust Him, the things that He'll do for us and the things that we'll have is unbelievable. Is unbelievable. We're going to look at another one in Mark chapter 2. And this is a story that I shared in one of my messages a while back. And the Father, as soon as I started studying on this, the Father brought me back to this. And it's incredible, this story here. And again, he entered into Capernaum. And he's talking about Yeshua, Jesus. Again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. So it was a big ruckus in there. I mean, Jesus is in the house, so people are excited. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. So you couldn't even get in the door. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, somebody paralyzed, which was born of four. So they had four guys carrying this man. Four of his brothers was carrying this man. Not biological. I don't know if it's biological brothers, but you know they cared for this man. They loved him, and they wanted him healed. You have anybody in here today? You love him. You want him healed. You want him born again? We all do. Let's keep reading. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof. Are you kidding me? They uncovered the roof. They ripped the roof up to get their friend to Yeshua. They locked their shields together. He said, you know something? We going to get our brother healed today. He's not going to have to deal with this anymore. He needs a healing, and we're locking our shields of faith, and if we have to go through the roof, we're doing it. And that's exactly what they did. That's the care and love that Yeshua, that he gives us for one another. Keep reading. They let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Yeshua saw their faith, you notice that. When he seen their faith, faith moves the Father. It moves him into action. He has no choice because he's moved by it. He's moved by it. He said unto the silk of the palsy, son, thy sins have been forgiven. In other words, you're healed because of all of y'all's faith. Sometimes that's what it takes. That's what it took for that man. It took his brothers in Christ to go in prayer for him, because that's what it represents. They locked their shields together in prayer, and they prayed. That's what it represents for us. When we lock our shields together, it becomes an unstoppable force in our family, in our community, and that's what he's doing. That's what the Father's doing with us. You know, you look at the Roman soldiers, and you know, just about any military, they look different. They look different from other armies. You know, you can tell, well, that's a Roman soldier, that's a Spartan, or whatever. They look different. You can tell them apart. You know, whenever people look at us, they should be able to tell us apart, because we all should have on Yeshua. We all should be clothed with Yeshua. We all should be bearing our armor. So people should see that. So we are dressed the same. We are clothed in righteousness. Our thoughts are the same. They're on the kingdom. Seek ye first his kingdom. Them Roman soldiers, they had one thing in mind, that was the kingdom. And what did they want to do? They wanted to please the king. What do we want to do? We want to please our king. We want to please our Father. Romans, I'll read 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Master Yeshua Messiah, that ye all speak the same thing. We should be speaking the same thing. Might come out a little different according to our personalities, but it should be the same thing. We should all speak the same thing. If I go talk to somebody today who's not born again, and you go talk to that person the next day, they should be able to tell that we're speaking the same language. I can tell these folks are clothed in Yeshua, that they're born again. They should tell that. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, don't give Hasatan any opportunities, because he takes them like that. We give him any kind of opportunity, he's going to take them. He never turns them down. He's looking for them. And the way we give him opportunity is what we allow before our eyes and in our ears. We give him opportunity, because it affects the way we, the things we say about other people, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, because that's what he come for. He come to divide us. He come to divide us. Philippians 2:1. You know, Pastor had mentioned this for one of the, I think it was by Sister Lynn and Brother Lee, about the things we say and how it affects other people. You know, we kind of pass the buck on thinking that it won't affect our brothers and sisters, but it does. That's exactly what he was talking about. It affects our brothers and sisters, the things we say and the things we do. It affects us. So we have to be careful. You know, there's this, I was praying one night, and after I prayed, I just started reading, and I ran into the scripture in Psalms. It's, let's go to Psalms 139:23 first. Says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me." And whenever I got there, I'm like, man, this is a prayer. I didn't think about nobody else, but I thought about me. I said, this is a prayer I need to add to my prayer list. And that's exactly what I did, because I don't want to hurt anybody. You know, look, whenever we get up here, Ollie, any one of the guys are speaking up here, whenever we're in our study time, you know who we're thinking about? We're thinking about y'all. And we're making sure that whatever we say is ordained by God, because I was just telling Brother Chad, I don't want to get up here and say something that's going to appease me, or something that I think needs to be said, because I already know what's going to happen. I'm going to mess it up. And there's times where I've done that. But I don't want to do that anymore. You live, and you should learn. You should learn. But that's who we're thinking about. We have y'all in mind, because we want to make sure we're saying the right things. Because the Bible's huge. I wouldn't even know where to start if it wasn't for the Father telling me. I mean, it's crazy. I've been... So I have a couple questions. We're not going to go... Let me see. No, we're going to skip over to Philippians. I have a couple questions. When was the last time you prayed for somebody who used to sit on side of you in church? They no longer there. You know, the Lord brought this to me. He asked me this question. When's the last time you did it? I couldn't even answer him because I didn't know. When's the last time you prayed for your brother or sister that sits next to you now? Because that's how we lock them shields together in faith, and we move forward whenever we start doing that. We're praying for one another, our brother and sister next to us. You know, maybe you don't have the list of everybody, but I'd make sure and put that one on there. Whoever's sitting next, I'd put it on there. Sometimes I get in prayer, I won't look at my list. I'll just be led by the Spirit to pray for whoever comes to mind. But that one there, I'm making sure I pray for that one for sure. Because that's my brother or sister that's next to me, and we're locking our shields in faith together, and we go on a war. Because it's not an option. We have to go to war regardless. If you're for Hasatan or not, you go on a war. You're going to be at war, but I can tell you, Hasatan, he done lost. He lost. So if you want to go at war with him, in war with him, you're in trouble. We go to war with Yeshua. You know, I remember what my dad was saying, that, and I could relate to it, that you're miserable. You know why you're miserable? Because you're in war and you're losing. Sure, that's going to be miserable. Ain't no way out but one. And that's through the Messiah. And thank God he remembered that. Yes. It meant a lot to hear my dad say what he said. It wasn't much, but let me tell you something. There's stuff like that, them little testimony that does something for each one of us. We should never forget about our testimony because it does something for people. All right, we're going back to Ephesians chapter 6, but we're going to verse, we're going to continue in it. We're going to go down to verse 18. Verse 18, praying always. Well, I don't think I finished. Did I finish reading Ephesians? No? Let's finish it. All right. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Elohim, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, Paul saying, and for me, don't forget about me, pray for me. He's making sure they don't forget. That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the good news, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. All right, let's look at verse 18 again. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now let's look at Matthew 26:40. And this is whenever Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asked his disciples to to stay a distance from him and pray. And he goes back to him, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And what does he say in Ephesians? Pray always. And he says, with all prayer and supplication of the spirit and watching. So he said, he says it here, pray and watch. Pray and watch. Why should we pray and watch? Well, he continues, because he says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we have to pray and watch. And because they didn't listen, they were scattered. Disciples were scattered. He don't want us scattered. If Jesus would have wanted his disciples scattered, he'd have never said that. But he didn't. See, he equipped them. He told them what to do. And they didn't do it, so they were scattered. And I'm talking about this church. You know, you can be in the same church and be scattered. He don't want us scattered. He wants us in unity. And he goes on. 19, and he says, for me, that the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the good news, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. If you're looking for something to pray for concerning your brother or sister, right here. This is a good one, right here. That we may speak boldly about the kingdom of God and don't hold back for nothing. Whenever God says speak, that because look, sometimes it's tough. You know, it's tough for some people to speak. But if we put our shields together in faith and pray for them, God will enable them to do it. They'll be able to speak boldly the things of the Father. So let's remember to pick up our shield of faith daily. Pick it up, lock it together with your brother and sister in Christ and pray. And we're going to see results. No doubt about it. I mean, this is not maybe. I mean, it's in the scripture. He shows us where it works. It worked with Esther. And it worked with them four guys. So it's going to work for us. That's all I had.
What this has been, everybody keeps saying the same things over and over again. It's this has been pretty incredible. I was thinking about it this morning, and the closest I can relate to it is you know, in business, you know, experience. You know, whenever you practicing to do something that you've never done before. Somebody tells you about it, you read about it, you study it, but it's not till you actually engaged in it that it becomes real and you get what's called understanding. You know, God in His Word talks about get wisdom and get understanding. You know, it's not till you're out there and you engage in it that, you know, like marriage. Everybody can relate to marriage. You wanted to get married. But it wasn't until years and years in the experience that you understood what marriage was after you was in it a while. Going through the ups and the downs, the in and outs. Being on the water. First time I thought I could just get out there and go fishing and get on the water and like to knock everybody down in the boat the first time. But get out there, you know, you just got to, you know, once you're on it and experiencing it for yourself, then you get the understanding. And so we get talked to a couple years ago about Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. And this was all new to us. And we studied the scriptures. We looked at it, slide after slide, year after year. But it wasn't until this year that I understood what he's doing. It's pretty incredible when you sit down with everybody and everybody's sharing their hearts. I told Jacob, you know, you look at people differently if you don't know what's going on inside. Now I'm praying for Sister Kelsey. I'm praying for your daddy. I'm praying for Jack. I'm praying for Ethan. I hear you say you're praying for certain people and you look in your heart. And Brother Jacob, I never heard your heart. And I said, still, it's got me. And like Pastor said, you don't realize when you give that how many people, like Brother Herman said, lock up. Shield to shield. Just lock up. And you experience what true love really is in our Father. It's really incredible. And it's addictive. It's very addictive. You know, there was a time I was addicted to going socialize with people that partied, drank, stayed up all night, and we engaged in gossip and all the rudiments of the world, which was evil. And it was only like a time bomb sometimes. We acted like we was all friends, but let somebody step on somebody's toes while we was drinking and partying. There was a fight going on. There was blood all over the place. And there was enemies, and then we'd go side with somebody else. And it was constant fear and chaos there. And we do it with all our heart to do that. And now we got Sukkot. And I was locked in after the first night. Sister Marlena couldn't have hit it no more perfect. The enemy tried to come in there with a little bitty slither. And she said, hey, we need to talk good. And those five things changed everything. Everything. Five things that you like about or pray about, promises, all those things. And I'm just excited about it. I wish you'd go on again tomorrow night and the next night. And you know, they got that song, I Will Rest in Your Promises. You know, we're resting. Who said it's like being in a bubble the other night? Who said that? It was like being in a bubble. It was Pastor Charlotte. You said it last night. You said it's like being in a bubble. And it is. Sukkoting. While on the outside, there's chaos and the world's fear and frustrations and bribery and evil and wickedness, we are all shielded in this bubble of your heart's like mush. It really is. It's like mush. I go to work in the morning, I'm on the boat, I'm thinking about it, I'm crying. And then I'm on my way home and I'm crying. I just got this softness in my heart, it don't go away. It's very addictive. And I love it. Oh, I love it. Don't y'all love it? It's him. It's drawing us closer to him. What he's like. This is what he's like. And he keeps telling us, you got to do it this way. Obey my commandments. And I'm telling you, you'll see. I struggled all week trying to put down things off the slides from Sukkot from years past. And I struggle with it and struggle with it. I'm like, man, I'm at the last here. Father, I don't want to speak what I want to speak. What do you want me to speak? I'll speak what you want to speak. And so this is what he gave me. Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Imagine that. Above all, taking the shield of faith where we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. But getting back to the understanding, before I finish talking about that, the Lord asked me a question this morning. How does understanding come? And there's two scriptures that I looked up and found this morning. How does understanding come? You go to Psalms 111. Psalms 111, verse 10. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Obedience. Obedience brings understanding. Like I said, until you get on the water and you experience what it is to be a boatman, a captain, until you get out there and or you get married and you're in the marriage for a while, you won't really understand marriage till you're in it for a while. That's when you get understanding. We've been through Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur. We've learned what it is to humble ourselves and do those things. Last year, I didn't understand what it was for the fast, you know, to humble ourselves. And then this year, I did it, and it changed me. You set the flesh on the side, and you spend the time with the Father. And like Brother Herman said, it took fasting and praying, didn't it? It took fasting and praying. And then we get to Sukkot. Five things changed everything. What's going to happen next round? And you know, last year I said, well, we was ready if something happened. This year I look back, I'm like, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. We'll be better for next year. We think we're ready. And next year, you're probably going to learn even more and get even closer to the Father and be like, wow, look at this, how incredible this is. The second one was in Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28, start with verse 11. There's a lot of things it says right before that verse that he does, putting forth his hand, cutting out rivers. But in verse 11, he says, he binds the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. But where shall wisdom be found? It's a question. And where is the place of understanding? And then in verse 20. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? It's a question. And then verse 21 through 28. Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. Elohim understandeth the way thereof, and he knows the place thereof. He does. For he looks to the ends of the earth, and he sees under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds and the weight for the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning and the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it. Yea, and he searched it. Like I said the other night, it's incredible to look at all the creatures on the earth, their details, their colors. They're amazing. They've got life in them. And he takes the life out of the breath. And it becomes so stiff and ugly. I hate death. I really hate death. You know, you get these animals and you love them and enjoy them. And you know in the back of your mind they're not going to last long. And you try to enjoy them. But you're not going to die. And it hurts. Loved ones die because of man's sin. Death entered the world. It's a horrible thing. And God didn't God made life. That's why he says, choose life. We want to live forever. We don't want to talk about just the fun things we did now and the bad things, ups and downs. Way back was the good old days. It's gotten worse and you die. What is that? What about eternal life? What about living forever? When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning and the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of Yahweh, that is wisdom. To humble ourselves and repent, and to depart from evil is understanding, obedience to him, to depart from the evil. The more we get away from disobedience, the worse it is. We got to obey him and get away from the wickedness. We get away from the wickedness, we get closer to righteousness. We get more understanding. But the longer we stay in the disobedience, the wickedness, we'll always have a seal over our eyes and we'll never see. And we'll always try and figure out and understand why and blame everything and everybody else. Because until we get on our knees and repent and say, God, I can't do this anymore. I need you. You gave me life. My mind's messed up. It's tainted with sin. I need you in my life. Until then, you'll never understand, and it's always going to be everything else. Everything else. But turn from our wicked ways. Then he will hear our prayers and heal our land. Turn. Back in Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Hebrews chapter 10. Starting with verse 35. You know, God is faithful. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of Elohim, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. This is incredible to be living this out. You know, this is not like something we get to see that's really actually happened. We read about it. We picked up his word and he said, this is what you do. This is how it's to be done. And there's a future event that's going to happen. We talked about it with the Messiah. It was talking about, it was prophesied in Isaiah that that's what would come. The Messiah would come and he would talk about it and he would be sacrificed. He would sacrifice himself. And that's what would happen. It was by faith. And that's what we're going to get in a little bit here. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Hebrews 11. Starting with verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of Elohim, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It was all his imagination. He put it all together, and he saw fit that it all worked. By faith, Abel offered unto Elohim a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, Elohim testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because Elohim had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, he pleased Elohim. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to Elohim must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of Elohim, of things not... Remember we talked about this earlier? They overcome him by the blood and by the word of what? Testimony. Look at these testimonies that he gives. Look at all these testimonies in this house tonight. Every one of you. I got to hear that all week long. I think that's what it was. Hearing everybody's testimony just built me up. Locking in side by side with everybody. Maybe this one's not up here speaking. Maybe this one's over here just quiet and being humble. And then you get to hear that person speak. You're like, whoa, that's a lot. Their heart's heavy. I need to pray for that person. Wow. He did that. She did that. Sister Gloria, Sister Loisa's tragic tumor become a baby. I'm like, really? I'd never heard of such. That was incredible. That wasn't like just a little thing. That was like a wow thing for many people and all around. And she's still here today, and people know about that. I know a lot of people have to know about that. That seeds that was sown, that who knows? Maybe tomorrow that might sprout up, you know? By faith, Noah, being warned of Elohim of things not yet seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And the people had got together, Faith Temple Ministries, and Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur, and they got together, and Yom Kippur in Sukkot, and they kept doing that without, you know, people thinking it's funny and saying all kind of things about us. A lot of people give up and quit. They only got a few left. We keep look at Noah. Eight. Out of a world full of people. Eight. We got more than eight in here. That should give us a little bit of a confidence, you know. Eight. That was it. Saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of a righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Now we can know what it means when you hear the word tabernacles. 5 years ago, we didn't know what tabernacles meant. Now we get a clear understanding. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is Elohim. You know those guys are dead? And they await the promise? Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. There's that word promise. Promise. He tells you, I promise you it's going to happen. I promise. Obey my word. Do what I'm telling you. Shield up. Guard up. Pick your sword up. I think about that what Brother Herman talked about. In the morning when I wake up, you get up and you're tired. And your mind always wants to be in control first. I don't care what you do, how long. I'm pretty sure past in all his ministry days to today can tell you when you wake up, the flesh wants to be in control. But you already know where it's going to lead. And your adversary sitting there with his sword waiting. You ready? Because I'm going to take you out. You take a step without it. He's ready. He loves it. He enjoys it. He's like that lion. And I got a better understanding. Thank you, Brother Herman, about game. He's looking for that game. That's crazy to think about that when you wake up in the morning. As a lion crouched by the side of my bed, ready to tear my head off my shoulders, if I don't pick up my shield and my sword... You got to pick up the shield of faith. This is the shield of faith all of this week with Sukkot. That was shielded in faith. And it can continue throughout the rest of the year all the way through. It's up to us individually to pick up the shield and the sword. And our next place the Father's bringing us into, the prayer. That was incredible. I mean, you get right there and just listen to the Spirit of the Lord. And I was thinking way, 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 way back when we had the music playing dim, and whoever wanted to come in, and we had the little lights blinking, it was dark in here, and everybody got on their knees, and they was weeping, and they was crying, Lord, praying and praying, not only for the community, but was praying for whatever God might have for us. And then here we come, Pastor's the whole time over there when you look into my glory. And here it comes, right around the corner. You know, I feel that we failed a little bit in that area. We've been busy with other things. But the Father's so merciful. He said, this is what I want y'all to do. We're going to pray for people. This is what we got to do. So this was a little shift. I'm going to keep praying for people now. Therefore sprang there even of one in him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith. And we should have more clear understanding today about dying. We shouldn't be afraid to die. We should be more excited, if not, if you die, because it's like going under anesthesia. You're going to close your eyes. And as soon as you close them, I don't care how long you're dead, you're going to open your eyes like you never did die, and you'll see what we're supposed to be seeing at that time, right? So rather you die or you're alive, when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ will raise, and those who are alive will be changed to meet him in the air. And then, not in heaven, then shall we forever be with the Lord. And we got work to do. We'll be doing stuff. We'll be having the wedding banquet. We'll be reigning with him 1,000 years. And then the eighth day comes. The grand finale. The one that created those things that I always just go crazy about. I'm like, wow, look at this. And I get to see face to face the one who made that. I think about that. I don't know if y'all do, but sometimes I just sit in my truck in the morning. I'm like, what does he really look like? When you look in his eyes, because, you know, we believed that we had so much going on when we were sealed with the false traditions and things that was on us. And then after the truth opened up, I'm like, what is it, some things that we may be sealed from that we may not know now? That's how big he is. That's how big he is. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity, have returned. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. This place is going to be heavenly. It's going to be incredible. Of all that he speaks about and his promises. Wherefore Elohim is not ashamed to be called their Elohim, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that Elohim was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. You can't get around that once you've been revealed something. The Esau age going into the Jacob age, the hand grabbing the heel. I'll never forget that. We're in the age of Esau. And that hand's grabbing that heel. It's right around the corner. I don't care if it's another 1,000 years. To God, it's a day. It's right there. And we got to stay faithful and keep doing what he's called us to do. Or we could forget being in the age of Jacob. The enemy will take us out. You know, outside, it's deception out there. It's a black world of serious deception. You know, we was out there praising the Lord. And we was in paganism mixed up with Christianity. We was really, woo, praising the Lord. We had no idea. We was deceived. Deception is real. And is really, really bad in the world. That's how important it is to have all the armor of God on. We got to have the shield. We got to have the sword, the helmet. We got to have it all on. And like Brother Herman said, Yeshua paid the price. Jesus paid the price for us to put that on every morning. One little flash. You know, we was talking about Adam and Eve the other day. And Pastor did a series, and he talked about it once before. You might remember at the word serpent in there. If you go back into the Septuagint and look up the word, it's seraph or seraphim, or the enlightened cherub, Hasatan. He's an angel. An angel of light. We talk about Adam and Eve being around those angels is a normal thing. He was there. And can you imagine that lighted cherub? He knows everything. He sees everything. He's always been around God for a long time. And it's not like it was like, oh, Adam and Eve, why you did such a thing? I mean, they were lighted. He was a lighted cherub. And he came there with trickery. I'm sure when they're standing on one end of the scene here, when it comes, they're thinking it's like every day. This is cool. This is the angel of Yahweh. And he comes there to deceive. He can't stand that they're in a position that he wants. And he gets mad at God, and that's a whole other story in itself. But, I mean, think about it. This is the one who roams to and fro every day and can knock us off any moment. Our loved ones that are out there that are deceived, we shouldn't be saying, I can't believe he or she. We ought to be saying, Father, I thank you so much, because you and I could be easily deceived. It's not hard. Just one glimpse at the wrong thing, because the eyes is the gates of the soul, right? Eyes and the ear gates. You go ahead and gossip about somebody one time, and it could right across your face, you're blind and deceived, offended. And before you know it, when you said, I'll never leave on God, I'll always be here. Oh, why'd they leave? Man, they used to love God. And so all it takes is a glimpse. And a lighted cherub can knock you off fast. He did it to me. He made me feel like everybody else was against me. And it was, now, I ain't did nothing wrong. It's everybody else's fault. One little flash, and you could be gone. So important to pick up the shield of faith. And give thanks in all things. Like Sister Jen said, hey, she got up, she spoke it. Philippians, right? That's what it was. And she got on track. You got to pick it up. You're sitting there down, her sword's right there, and the Spirit's saying, pick it up. Pick it up. Pick it up. And he keeps telling you, pick it up. And your heart, you grab it. Philippians, I feel like a new woman. I feel like a new man, right? That's how it happens. Pick it up. Put on the shield of faith and quench all the fiery darts. All of them. All of them. Succoting was quenching all the fiery darts. It's a force field, a bubble. Can't get in. There's no way. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing wrath. Man, that's another big story in itself. He could have chose the money. He could have chose the fame. But he said, this ain't for me. I'm going with Yahweh, right? Choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of Elohim than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Messiah greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the... My paper got cut off. What's the next word? A recompense of the reward. 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I've never seen Yahweh. I've never seen Jesus. I've never seen Yeshua. But I read about him, what he said about me. And that's the shield of faith I pick up every day. Believing as real fact was not revealed through the senses. It's what it said. Even when I don't see it, he's working. You see what I'm saying? It's the word. It's sharp. Very sharp. It's pure. He created it. He made it. It's going to happen. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as a season, and seeing whom is visible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. He followed the instructions. Hey, y'all, we follow the instructions. Before you know it, you're going to blink your eyes. We're going to be in the kingdom. We're going to be in the kingdom. We're going to be at the wedding feast. We pray for people now because maybe you might see one of those ones you might have forgot to pray for. They say, bind him up and throw him in outer darkness. That's a real deal that's going to happen. Might want to keep that in mind. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed, not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That must have been a crazy world back then with David, to just see thousands of soldiers slaughtered all over the place. You know what I'm saying? Walking through darkness, and David leading the group. He's a man of war. That's in his blood. That's in the blood of Yeshua. That's in our blood whenever we accept Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. When we accept him, that blood flows through us. Maybe not in reality yet, but by faith it does. Until that day, until it fully restores us. Quench the violence of fire. Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Wax valiant in fight. Turn to fight, flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Well, foreseeing we're also accomplished about what's so... My paper got cut off. I think I'm on chapter 12 now. Does chapter 12 start off, "Well, foreseeing we also accomplished about with so great a cloud of witnesses"? Talking about what I just talked about before. Therefore, since we're surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. He gives us so much to go by, to hold us up today. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, we got a mark to go for. Let us with patience run the race that is set before us. Looking unto Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the stake, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of Elohim. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Minds. We got to protect our minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of Yahweh, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. When you get rebuked by him, you take it, put your head down, and thank him, because he's trying to save you. He's trying to rescue you from the hands of the enemy, from destroying you. We don't like it. We feel like we're in the right and somebody else is in the wrong. Because it's like embedded in our minds for so long, we played it over and over and over, that it's not, it can't be possible it's me. But you got to take the pastor, the teacher, or whoever it is, a loved one is trying to tell you, hey, you might want to go check this out. Something ain't right here. And if you even still think that you're in the right, get on your knees and say, Lord, maybe I might be wrong. Open my eyes to see. Maybe I might. Just maybe. Just give it a try. And I guarantee you, when you pray and ask him and say, if I did something, I want to make sure, I promise you, he'll open your eyes and you will see it. If ye endure chastening, Elohim dealeth you with his sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you illegitimate sons and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And it's a lengthy chapter. I'm not going to get into the whole chapter. But verse 18 says, "For you're not coming to the mount that might be touched and burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words with voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And as so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are coming to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living Elohim, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable company of angels." Let me tell you something. When that rakia opens up and all those angels come out of there and you're not in right standings, it's probably going to be the most fearful, crazy thing a person ever experienced in their life. They're coming to destroy all wickedness off the earth. They're going to pluck up all the tear. Everything that still takes on, everything that the world takes on, its wickedness, is going to be sought out. The Father and Yeshua, Jesus, where they stand, can see clean through everything in our hearts right now. They have eyes that can see through. We have mortal eyes. We can only see so far. But can you imagine immortal eyes, how far you'd be able to see? The Bible describes he has eyes like fire. He can see through anything. So you can't hide anything. When they come, you won't be able to hide. There won't be no crack or crevice. They wish the mountains would fall on them, there being so much fear. When the angels come to destroy everything. But those in Yeshua and Jesus are going to be in that bubble. They're going to be shielded and protected. And this word yet once more signifies. What verse was I on? 23? To general assembly, assembly of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Something else I learned. I always thought that when you accepted Jesus, you accepted Yeshua, that's when your name got written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But now I see it from the other end. It was always written. When we go in error and don't accept him, it can be taken out. I thought that was pretty incredible. I want to keep it in there. I don't want it to be removed. And to Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signified the removing of those things that are shaken as things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve Elohim acceptably with reverence and awe. For our Elohim is a consuming fire. Everything that's not locked into what he's called it to be is going to be shaken and removed. But those who are steadfast and stay in his love and obedience is not going to be shaken. It's not going to be moved. It's going to stay. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them. Think about that. And them which suffer adversity, as being yourself also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, Elohim will judge. If you're in right standings, you don't have to worry about being judged. But if you're not in the right standings, you're going to be judged. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, Yahweh is my helper, and I will not fear. What shall man do unto me? Even they kill me, he will raise me from the dead, right? So it doesn't matter. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of Elohim, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. You know, when I heard about Brother Josh and Sister Nicole being ordained, it brought me joy. You know, in a lot of churches, I bet you sometimes in some churches, there's like, oh, I can't believe I've been here longer than them. You know, that really goes on in churches. I can't believe that. I've been here longer than them. I didn't feel that way. I was like, whoa. Father's things that he's all got set up and strategically planned. I'm like, I'm excited to be able to side up with Brother Josh and hear what he's got to say, because the Father anointed him with the pastors, anointed them with the pastors, anointed the youth pastors with, and anointed Philip to do what he does, and anointed the ones on the boats, whatever. Everybody's been anointed, approved by God to do something. Looking at somebody else lines all the way back in Torah where it says, do not covet. Don't covet. Don't covet. Don't covet what other people have. You focus on what God anointed you to do, and you take care of you and pray for everybody else and side up and appreciate where the Father has put you. There might be somebody in here that don't do anything, but they're quiet and they might pray. The worst thing that can destroy us and get us out of succoting is gossip. Focusing on other people, saying things. That didn't exist in Sukkot. Sister Molina set that stage up. She said, we need five things. This is what we need. And that's how it went. And that's how it needs to continue. Remember, all the crazy parties that I was in, there was always gossip, gossip, gossip. You always hear people's names and talking about somebody. And when they enter the room, and then you get with them and start talking about the one that just left the room. And then when they leave the room, oh, it's just constantly finding, and it hurts. It tears people down. Because when somebody else finds out about it and they come back to the other one, hey, you said, and boy, they have one of them Heinekens. Before you know it, they're like cat scratch. See what I mean? But in here, what, honey? You're going through, let me pray with you. What, brother? Oh, man, let me pray with you. I don't know what so-and-so's going through there. I'm going to pray for him anyway. I don't know. See? Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of Elohim, whose faith follow considering the end of their conversation. Yeshua Messiah, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Yeshua also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. That's what we seek, the one to come. And there's so much more to cover. I'm not going to have time tonight, but we had in Genesis chapter 2, 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, talking about the 7 days, all the host of them. And on the seventh day, Elohim ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which Elohim had created. The seventh day is a day of completion, perfection. The fall festivals give a picture of the whole plan of God. The blowing of the trumpets, the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, pictures repentance, preparations for a day when Messiah returns to judge the world. This day is followed by a seven-day feast of summit or in gathering, which pictures the millennial reign of Messiah for 1,000 years. That last day of this feast is the seventh or final day. The great white judgment, second resurrection, which occurs at the close of the millennial. Satan and all those who didn't make the first resurrection are destroyed. And then the day we all should be excited about, the eighth day, the final day, we meet Yahweh himself. And heaven and earth meet, the new heaven and the new earth. And you can read all that in Revelations. I got it all right here, but y'all go read it at home. We've had a lot of reading today. A lot of reading. And I can go on and on and on. But we've had an exciting week. I've been excited all week and today. But we have to pay attention. I remember years ago, Pastor preached a message. And he said, be careful when you come down off a spiritual high. Because they could have hay right down there somewhere with a pitchfork sticking up in it. And you can land on it, right? You got to be careful. You got to be really careful. So when you wake up in the morning, you don't know how the day is going to go. You can have it all in your mind like, I'm going to have this great and incredible day. And it could be one of the worstest days that you had ever. But we got to be thankful. Give him glory and give him honor and praise no matter what. Give thanks in all things. This is what we're supposed to do. Getting ready for the heavenly to come. Like as if it's here already. So souls around us can see the light on us and bear all the armor of God, like Brother Herman said. You got anything else, Pastor?
Okay, 15 minutes intermission in round 3. Y'all ready? No. I'm just playing. But this week has been an incredible, incredible week. I tell you, this month, starting with the trumpets, this month, it was a busy month, but it was a wonderful month. I mean, we learned a lot. Again, even though third or fourth year, we learned new things this whole month. And I just thank him so much for what he's doing in our lives and in our church. It's a blessing. You know, what an honor. But before we go, you know, I know our pastors they're not the ones to, like, for people to brag on them or whatnot, but we have incredible pastors, you know, and I just want to tell Pastor and Pastor Charlotte from our church, thank y'all for, because we wouldn't, when you look into my glory series was the game changer for this church. It took us into these feast days. It took us in doing Torah. And listen, it's not easy. You wonder how they're going to respond to it. You know, Yeshua telling his disciples in John 6 the truth. Some of them left. They got up and left. And he turns to the rest of them and he says, are y'all going to leave too? And Peter, I love that answer. And that's our answer. Where are we going to go? You got the words of eternal life. Eternal life. So this Sukkot, the feast days, all the Torah has brought us so much closer to the Father. It's unbelievable. And you know, you sit as a pastor, you wonder. You wonder how the people's going to respond. You know, you take all the criticism from other pastors. You know, but you brought the truth no matter what. And we are bearing the fruits from that. Thank y'all so much. I can't even explain, you know, how glad we are as a church and as family for what y'all done. You know, hey, Lord, if this is what you want me to say, then I'm going to say it. You know, whatever the outcome's going to be, I'm trusting you. So thank y'all so much.